This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yo, you already know who it is. Price, your host, LSU shirt today. Rob.
Oh, Douglas.
You see Rob. You already know
this shirt. Yeah, shout out to Sonya Deville. Yep. Or I can't remember your name, man, but you know, hope you prosper. Love your shirt.
Bruh Migos Podcast. And y'all join today with us, you know,
in 2026. He's on assignment until he shows up.
Yep. But look, since he hasn't shown up yet, do us a favor. Remember, like, subscribe, go ahead, hit that little bell, you know,
and count that ding.
And you know, come through, you know, get your notifications on. Come see us whenever we go live, you know. Come have some fun with us in the chat, you know. We got a fully packed show for y'all. You know, usually at the beginning of the year, we come to you guys with our predictions on our first episode, and we recap what we thought that we would predict last year, and we see who got the most right. Now, before we jump right into this, I have to address a few of you people, and I hope Rob clips this, okay?
They mad.
It's a lot of y'all who are mad with us. You mad with me? Me? How dare you be mad with me? Come on now. All I did, I told you the truth. I didn't tell you that Justin Herbert was a bad quarterback.
Not at all.
I didn't tell you that he didn't have legitimate reasons. I said that people sympathize with him the most. That's all I said. I said they sympathize with him. I know he doesn't have Joe Alt. I know that his line may not be the best. But I want you to remember something. Whenever he's 11-5, they say the team needs to do better. Whenever he's losing, it's not his fault. You can say that that's a quarterback thing, but I notice it's a little bit more favorable for him. Now, to address some of you people, like the guy who tried to call me and Rob incels, got something for you. I don't care. You can go to hell. That's how I feel. Now, I just want to let you know that. I just want you to know that, bro. Because guess what? No matter how you say, oh, they don't know ball, they don't watch ball, bro, we probably cover more football than you can cover on your average Sunday. And it's three of us. And not to mention the amount of replays and watching games back that we watch, okay? Not to mention, I go watch basketball, too. Whenever baseball is in rotation, I catch that. Even some hockey games here and there. You, my friend. You.
Talk to him.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
Like The Rock said, look who's calling. It's for you. It's nobody. It's nobody on the line for you. I just want you to know that. For now, for the rest of you guys who came to the conversation and y'all love to have a debate and y'all want to talk it out, or some of y'all who agree with us, I'm fine with y'all. Have a great day. Keep coming back. We like to talk.
Thank you for watching.
Because to see, we touched the nerve with that clip. We touched the nerve.
It was so many people. It was like, damn, like y'all just all came here to bitch. And it's like, I'm glad to give you a meeting ground to bitch, but it's just like, dog, all we said was, dude ain't as all that as what y'all saying he is.
That's it. That's it. I'm just saying, I ain't say that he was trash.
Excuse me. I ain't say not all that he said he is. We're just saying that other quarterbacks deserve sympathy as well.
Yes.
He shouldn't be the only one deserving sympathy. Well, Justin Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game. But it's also that he's one that I've never really seen more excuses being made for in my life.
Nobody says how Patrick Mahomes' receiving corps has been trash this year. Nobody talks about that. They just look at him and say, do better. But y'all fail to say things like that about him. Say, hey, bro, we need you to do better. They say, oh, it's not his fault. You know, it's not his fault. Like I said, whenever it's 11-5 and he loses in the playoffs, it's the team's fault. They have to do better. But whenever they 5-11 or they're just messing up, it's not his fault. Justin is doing everything he could do. Just throwing that one out there. That's all I got to say. Now, you can hate it or love it. The underdog's on top.
The hoes have been addressed.
They have been addressed. And yes, you are all hoes. Okay.
Oh.
Hostile occupants. There you go.
Tell them.
Just let y'all know. Now, we recap. Okay. For last year, which was 2025, Rob has the score. Rob, what was the score between me and you last year for 2025?
So we predicted our you know champions at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
One of us who was the host, or one of us who was the keeper of it, said they got four right. Got mm-hmm. four, you know, champions right. And that was the Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
the Aces,
mm-hmm.
Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and MJF being AEW champion. Now, somebody else who is the host of the show in an LSU shirt
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
got
mm-hmm.
five of the things right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he got Jade as being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
He had Cody as being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
He had Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
the Aces,
mm-hmm.
and Yannick Sinner winning Wimbledon for the men. So,
just saying, I watched a little tennis too. Bye bye. Yeah.
So congratulations to Nate for basically having it and winning, you know, and stuff and whatever, and who cares.
Just saying.
No, congratulations to Nate for picking champions correctly.
Just a little something. But this year, we have a third, as sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not. Okay. Our fellow Romigo. But he did fill out and let us know because, you know, even though we gave him a star time, you know, he's like, okay, you know, we don't know where he be at, bro.
Assignments be assignment-y.
Yeah, assignments be assignment-y. So we have done our predictions and we will go through these with you guys today. You know, we cover everything from the MLB to the UFL, okay?
Rooter to the tooter.
We have predictions for everything. So, Rob, I will kind of alternate back and forth. I'll let you start reading MLB, and then I'll take NFL. We'll go back and forth. So, MLB predictions. Who does everybody have?
All right. So, I mm-hmm. am picking the Blue Jays, and I'm picking the Blue Jays because it seems like they got a lust, a thirst for winning. Mm-hmm. Like, they got that first bite when the World Series last year, and they have not, and they've been making moves all offseason, getting Dylan Cease. They just got Okamoto out of Japan. Like, this team is poised to want to win. And I think that it's going to be really cool to see. Now, granted, I don't know where Bo Bichette's going to go. I don't know what they're going to do if they're going to try to bring him back, but it sounds like they're not. But even with that, I think they're poised to win. Mm-hmm. Now, Nate, very unbiasedly, picked the Boston Red Sox. I mean, you care to explain, my brother?
Look. I'm a Red Sox fan. Okay. I believe that if we put together the right amount of pitching talent, we're right there. Pitching was our downfall last year. Okay. We can get some substance of offense, and we can play defense. We got rid of our cancer and Rafael Devers. We got a lot of great young prospects that are developing, and I feel like they're going to take a jump this year. Okay. I don't think that we're going to keep Bregman. Okay. I see him probably leaving us.
I mean, I would hope.
I know you're hoping. Yeah.
Yankees, y'all still have a chance to do the funniest thing ever. Just book proceed.
And then, look, I also think this. By us getting back like Tanner Hayek and stuff like that, we're in the right position, okay? Even though I did not get my Japanese home run monster that went to the White Sox. I question you that you have on the wrong color socks, okay? You have on the wrong color socks, my friend. They need to be red, not white. But I'm picking my Red Sox to make a run at this. Now, I do see our brother Visky. He does have the Dodgers. I think that he's hoping for
went out on a fucking limb and picked the Dodgers. Like, of all teams, he just said, you know what? I'm gonna guess and say the Dodgers. He didn't say his fuck ass Braves. He said the Dodgers. Mm.
A tree limb made of money and gold, and Magic Johnson, you know, just constituents. That's what I think that tree is made of. Goddamn wallet so thick it's ridiculous. Now, NFL, Rob, this is a bold prediction with you, Rob, for you to say the Texans can win this, okay? Now, for some reason, in the next two sports that we're about to cover, I feel like it is a every man for himself. There is no definite who can win in these next two. You picking the Texans. Why the Texans, Rob?
Defense wins championships, and this defense has actually been playing great. I know CJ Stroud has had his ups and downs, but I think that they can make a run. They've been on like a 9-game win streak right now. Like, plus, I picked them before the season to be one of the teams in the Super Bowl. Granted, I was just not wanting to pick the Bills and the Lions. But Lions ain't going to be in the playoffs, and Bills are still looking like kind of flimsy anyway. But, no, I picked the Texans because I think they can make a run. I think that this is a very winnable, like you said, postseason. So, I think they can win it all.
Yeah, the Bills aren't made out of the right paper right now. So, with that being said, me and Visky came in with the 49ers. I know me personally, I picked the 49ers.
That's an interesting one.
So, I'm going to tell you why. Because this is a winner take all, I'm looking for the best balance of what I think can get hot and take off. Now, granted, the downfall of Seattle the night was not pretty. But yeah, they had just had a streak where they were having shootout games where they were winning. And I'll say maybe Purdy's still trying to find himself. But you know, like I know, that in the NFL, all you need is one good hot set of games to get you through the playoffs. And you're in the Super Bowl, and then everybody's amped up, ready to fight. And I think that that's legitimate, a thing that could happen this season, because Patrick Mahomes ain't there. We won't.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Know the faith of Lamar Jackson until this afternoon. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look, even if Aaron Rodgers was to win, still it's not. They don't have a chance. In the words of Vince McMahon, there's no chance in hell that the Steelers could win this.
Well, I would say this. I would bet on them. I've actually bet on them more than I bet on the Ravens, to be honest, because I think that T.J. Watt can make it a real big difference. Him coming back, I think going to make a difference. Granted, he hasn't played since the lung puncture. So So, yeah. I mean, we don't know how his health necessarily is going to be and everything like that, but that's a bad man on the other side of that ball that basically, because the reason why I was thinking like the Texans, and probably was partially the same thing with the 49ers, the thing with this Cohen with this is like offenses are not playing. They're not, you don't see a dominant offense out here.
No.
Like I see the Rams basically playing well, but you know, they can get got. Eagles are inconsistent, or at least mentally, I still see mentally frail. Like, and all these other teams like the Broncos or the Chargers, like they seem like they're one foot on a banana peel in a sense. And so like I think that with that being said, defense is going to be at a premium, and if defense is going to be at a premium, then basically, yeah, I'm trying to pick the best defensive guys that are out there, and T.J. Watt's one of them. Yeah. And so, yeah. No, I mean, I would take the Steelers as having a chance, not a great chance, but I feel like anybody has a chance.
And the Ravens have about as much of a chance as two ice cubes out there in the Sahara Desert. That's just my opinion on those two teams. Because I can't see them winning. They're both, they don't have, out of the teams that we just went over, like the Texans and the 49ers, I feel like both of those teams have less offense than those two teams. Okay? And you're going to need it at some point. Mm-hmm. Because you're gonna need it to control the pace to keep the defense off the field to get him a chance to rest. And I think whenever San Francisco is pushing, they can do that. They had some bad hiccups against Seattle, but Seattle wasn't exactly the best either. But Seattle's defense showed up, and they were able to keep the offense on the field long enough with the run game to keep it in there. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
The Steelers don't have a run game. The Ravens have a run game. I don't find the Steelers having a run game though.
They don't have what you would think. I don't think it's a great run game. I think it's a fairly good. It's a fairly good between Warren and Gainwell with how they've been playing. I think it's a fairly good.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't
think about.
I wouldn't say it's like Derrick Henry though.
So that's what I was about to say.
Even with Derrick Henry being what he's been,
is it Derrick Henry? Is it a multifaceted weapon like CMC?
They don't have that.
I don't think that they have enough of that to control it. That's why matchup right now, at that late game, it's going to be a hell of a game. But it's going to be guts and glory the first round after this for whoever comes out on top.
That's true.
I look at this fight like this. This is Spartacus and Ares, the god of war, fighting each other in a duel to the devil, even though one of them, you know, is a god. They're at the highest levels, and they're just fighting. But whoever comes out on top might have a Zeus matchup on the other side, and they're probably going to get knocked out unless they just overcome something. It's a bad one for that now. NBA, who do we got going, Rob?
All right, so I picked the Spurs, and mainly I picked the Spurs because of how well they've done without Wemby. I'm not saying that Wemby, this is no knocking at Wemby at all, and I think Wemby's had a lot of things going on. But I think when it comes to it, that team, they've been making it happen. Even though I'm seeing the Celtics come up, your Celtics basically come up like playing much, much better. You know, like I think that the Spurs, like I think this team can make a nice run. I love Stephen Castle. I think he has a lot of, it's like I haven't been able to find the right word to put it, but he has a lot of it. And what I mean by it is just like, it's the same way I see Joe Burrow, in that he's going to want to win this game. Whatever game it is, he's going to want to win this game, and he's going to make the plays to win this game. He's an athletic dude. So it's not like, okay, well, he's just got the winner's moxie or whatever. It's like, no, he has the winner talent, and he has the winner mental. So basically, do all the things that need to be done to make winning plays. And I think that between him and Wemby can actually make a nice run, and De'Aaron Fox still being there. And they could probably make some moves like with the trade deadline, like and bolster either their bench or basically bolster like some, maybe bring in some more vets. Cause they got like a nice balance with Harrison Barnes, and they got Vassell and Champagne and all these kind of things. Like they got a nice little nucleus. But I can see them making like a move or two just to basically shore up and make things right. Kind of like what the Thunder did years back, like getting like Caruso and stuff like that, just making enough like a move that basically is going to help to like solidify everything.
Okay. I have the Nuggets. Oh,
yeah, you have the Nuggets.
I do have the Nuggets, but I'm going to tell you why. Even though they don't have Jokic for 4 weeks, I think that this isn't something. I think he's hurt, but it's not going to affect his game. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing is this. Wimby has trouble with hefty big men.
Big, hefty, hefty, hefty.
Wimby, if you wanna like neutralize him, you put the Jokic's, the Gasol's, the Zach Randolph's, you make him fight them. Because Jokic, as much as people try to say, he don't look like he in shape, he don't look like he this, he don't look like he that, he's killing. And he's been killing. And it's hard to stop him. And I believe if he comes back healthy with Jamal Murray, and they still don't have Aaron Gordon back, which if he comes back healthy, I think that they make another run at this thing, because this year, just like in the NFL, the NBA is wide open. There's no Jason Tatum to help the
even though they don't need him. They're the 2 seed right now.
I think come playoff time, they're going to need him.
Okay. I think
what's going to happen is the Peyton Pritchards and stuff like that, you're going to need them to be there even more consistent, and I don't think that they're going to be that. They are that consistent. And what we saw last night from Jaylen Brown is like that anomaly of him shooting 60, 70%. Mm-hmm. And he's going to hover somewhere around 50. You're going to need that, and you're going to need Derek White to do the same thing. Because Derek White at 29, he had 50.
So because the rotation is going to shrink.
Yeah.
Because those rotations are going to shrink. Those minutes are going to add up. And it's like, you ain't ready at that time. Like, you could do it against the Hornets and shit like that. That's a great point.
Boston is going to have to figure out how to play a deeper rotation. Now, Visky's pick, the Pistons.
I like them.
They just beat the Cavs as we're recording this. They just beat the Cavs. The Pistons are very dangerous and young.
Yes.
This is a dangerous team. Cade Cunningham is a 6'8 guard that can rebound. He can pass the ball. He can get his inside shot. If those guys, Duncan Robinson shows up, if Ivy shows up, if Jenkins shows up, if Ronald Holland shows up, if Asir Thompson, the other Thompson, if everybody shows up for that team, they can be very disruptive. They can play defense. They can get up and down the court. They are young. And not to mention, because how could I forget him right now? I want to say he didn't even play today. Damn. And I just saw his name.
You know, you talking about the Pistons?
Not
Cade.
No, not Cade.
Sasser? Oh, no.
No. The other big. Yeah, because Isaiah Stewart played.
Not Durant. Jalen Durant?
Yeah, Durant. If Durant is healthy, he is
bad.
Very
athletic. Bad man.
He is very on.
Bad man.
And to say you beat the Cavs, I'm going to say something. Cavs, the chink in armor has that crack from last year has widened.
Dog, Chuck made the best point, and it stuck out of my mind. They are missing a dog. They do not have a dog on that team to go. A winning team, because I said this about the Knicks last year, and it was like I couldn't find the right like phrasing or word, but Chuck said it best. They're missing a dog. Josh Hart is the dog for the Knicks. And that's in that he's that somebody that goes out and makes a play when a play needs to be made. He gives that off. Like Marcus Smart has been like was like the dog for years for the Celtics. You know, I'm trying to think of another. It's plenty of cats that's a dog. Like I think that they just need to go get a dog. And the one dog I just thought about while we were talking about this from your area, from your neck of the woods. Alvarado, I think it'd be a good. Yeah. I think that would be a good acquisition for them to make because I think they brought DeAndre Hunter in to kind of be somebody like that. But DeAndre Hunter ain't got that kind of. He ain't got that in him.
DeAndre Hunter is just a scorer. He's more Vinny the Microwave.
Yeah, yeah. Like he can basically do the things, and he can be that stretch guy or whatever. But this is a mindset thing. Like you have to basically, like Dylan Brooks, like you have to be in a mindset to be that dog. And I think that Alvarado would be somebody that would be a good candidate. We're gonna come up with the NBA All Purgatory team sooner or later. But he'd be a great candidate for somebody or for them to actually go after, because I think they need somebody like that in order for them to take that next level. They have the star with Donovan Mitchell. They have the talent with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and Darius Garland and DeAndre Hunter. And they got like the dudes. They got the Marcus, the Max Strauss of the world, where they can basically do it. But they just don't have that dog. And I think that they need that battery in their back to get over the hump. And until that happens, they're just going to be a team that's going to be pretty flimsy, offensively talented as hell, or talented as hell up and down the court, but just flimsy. That they just need that solidification, and I think Alvarado is gonna give them that, or somebody like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that. Now, moving on, NHL. All Rob, right. St. Louis Blues. Tell me.
All right, so unbiasedly, I basically have to come in here unbiasedly and basically tell y'all that the Blues, for another year, are going to be Stanley Cup champions, because they've been Stanley Cup champions before. I know you're going back in your history bank and you remember that the St. Louis Blues won it a few years ago. They won it this century. They won it this decade, in matter of fact. And right now, they're, you know, of course, I got this off the top of my head. They're fifth in points in the Western Conference. So I knew you knew that, but I had to make sure you knew. And so I basically was telling you just to make sure you knew about how well the Blues was doing, because you might have thought like, hey, the Blues suck this year. And so they're basically down there, even though like that's where they was when they won the Stanley Cup. That's where they started out. But no, I had to just make sure that you weren't thinking, you know, that your mind, your mentals wasn't off. No, they're actually pretty good this year. And so I basically, you know, I I know, you know, who's on the Blues. And I know that's why you basically wouldn't think like, hey, you know, this is the team to beat. You know, they're fifth in the Western Conference. They got Matthew Joseph. Yep. And he looks like a brother. He's an in-between, I would say, from Quebec.
Octoroon.
Afternoon, my Octoroon. But yeah, spells like Tyrann Mathieu, you know, so I knew you knew about him. And then Jimmy Snuggard, I think he knew. That name sounds new. And then like, you know, I know you, of course, you know, Jordan Bennington, like he's the great goalie that we have. So it's like, I knew you knew about him, but now I'm like up and down. Justin Falk, St. Louis. I mean, come on now. Tyler Tucker, Otto Stenberg, Oscar, you know his name. And then Alexei Toro. Torofshenko, there we go. Maybe. And then Dylan Holloway, of course. He also sounds new. But yeah, I mean, this is a team. Jake Neighbors, that's I think a guy that I think they just got. No, is the Blue? No, yeah, you know what? You know who I was talking about. So yeah, the Blues are set to dominate and become Stanley Cup champions once again. They're gonna hoist it, going to Keener Plaza, and gonna have that. I don't even know if they're gonna have the fucking. I mean, they're going to probably have the parade somewhere down in downtown, but probably I don't even know if it's still Keener Plaza. St. Louis people, sound off in the chat. If it's Keener Plaza, it's still. But yeah, like, yeah, they're going to be down there. They're going to be around, or probably where the arch is, somewhere there. Either way, the St. Louis Blues are your 2026 Stanley Cup Finals.
First, I'm going to get Vizky's pick out of the way since he's not here. He's a Ducks fan. That's why he picked the Ducks to win. Like he said, it always goes up to his obsession.
Because it's 90s, dog. Any 90s, 80s baby is, if you ain't got no team, you would inherently a Ducks fan. Because of the cartoon, goated cartoon, by the way.
Yes.
And then the movie.
Okay, so my pick, Ducks. Nathan McKinnon, right now leading the team.
Or his picks or yours?
No, my pick is the Avalanche. If I say his,
look, you said Ducks. Yeah.
No, well, his pick is the Ducks. My pick, Avalanche, okay? Avalanche are leading right now. They're like 17-0-2 at home. They've only really lost in shootouts and in overtime losses, okay? My boy, Nathan MacKinnon, leading the team, 74 points. He is the man. He is looking like he can be your MVP of the league. Okay? Straight up and down. He's that good. The Avalanche are such front runners that once they usually go up, if you're not on their ass or you can't come back, you're not in this game. You're just not in this game with them. And I'm thinking because they've been dominating so far this season, I don't think anybody else. It's gonna have to be a hell of a push for other teams to catch them right now. If they stay elevated at this level of play, I don't see anybody messing with the Avalanche. I see the Avalanche going into the Stanley Cup, raising that trophy, skating out, giving Colorado something to look up to because, look, it's not much else because the Rockies are boo-boo the food trash, okay? I think the Avalanche are going to bring home that cup. And then, you know, Rockies fans, you could just all go be Avalanche fans. You know, you
Yeah, I was going to do that anyway. Yeah, like that. Yeah, I was going to do that. Like the Joe Sakic, since the Joe Sakic days.
Yeah. Look, just bring the Coors beer over there by the Avalanche. Just quit.
Coors.
And we just quit. Now, WNBA, Rob, I see you went with the Lynx. Why? Okay. And this might be the metaphor that y'all may not like or simile. Didn't they just pull a Tom Brady 07 where they won all them games and then got their ass knocked off early?
So, yes. but you know, things happen because we always talk about, the Lynx the playoffs being such a different animal than what the regular season is. But they were basically either the best, if not the best team in the WNBA last year. Mm-hmm. Aces had a great run and basically came up and just hawked them at the end, but it happens. But no, Cheryl Reeve was, she's basically going to be returning to that. I think she's still the coach of that team. Either way, the main reason that I'm doing that is because, of course, the MVP, Nafisha Kyle, you're from?
The Lou.
Thank you. And so I basically had to pick the Lynx because of that. And so, like, this is a great team. I think they are going to basically have similar success to what they did last year. I mean, granted, the Aces are still out there, but the Aces were looking poop at the first part of the year and then basically got hot towards the end. And so I think that with this team, even though Nafisha Collier probably is going to start the year on the injured list, just because I know she's not planning on arrival this year because she had injuries. So we're going to see what's going to happen at the start of the WNBA season. But nah, I got to go with Nafisha Collier from the Lou, and I got to go with this.
Okay, so I'm picking the Mercury to make a run. I'm expecting them to have a better regular season record this year. Sabul is coming back. That team is well put together, okay? And I feel like being so close, even though they lost 4-0, those games weren't blowouts, okay? Those games weren't blowouts. I feel like with a little bit more time and everything going right for them, without one of your stars going down after game 3, you maybe win one and stop it from being a sweep like it was. Thus saying, look, I think a new year, a little bit more time, you can make this run. You can come back and win a WNBA Finals, okay? Now, Visky, who picked the Fever, he told me why he was picking the Fever whenever we talked about this. He said, and I quote him, "For a team to almost make it in there without your superstar, you have to be able to make a run the next year," okay?
That's true.
That is a fair point. Whenever he said it, I said, he kind of got me right there with that one because I didn't think about it. Yeah, they were almost there, and they didn't have Caitlin Clark.
Right.
So his pick, very logical in sound. Very logical in sound.
And to be real, I do like the Fever. Like, Sidney Colson, when I was on Twitter, one of the best, like, sports Twitter follows out there. You know, Caitlin Clark, one of the best in the WNBA for show. Like Sophie Cunningham, but well known. You know, then they still got Aaliyah Boston, still got Kelsey Mitchell, you know, still in the league. Or no, I'm thinking somebody else. But yeah, Odyssey Sim. Like they got some names on here, and like I think they can make a run. Like they can do the damn thing. So it's a nice pick, but
yeah,
you know, they ain't got the MVP.
This is true. They don't have the MVP. This is very true, bro.
But Caitlin Clark could win the MVP this year.
She could win the MVP. I think if she's healthy, she got a legit chance.
She got a legit chance.
Because she is like, from her numbers last year, she's pretty much, she could be a walking triple-double.
Correct. She could ball. She could ball her ass off. Yeah. All right. College football. So, for me, I'm picking the U. I'm picking the U to win. Of course, we're in the semifinals right now with Ole Miss, the U, Indiana, and who's the last team?
It's Ole Miss, the U,
Indiana. I'm missing one team.
Oregon, I want to say.
Oregon.
Yeah.
And Oregon. And so I think the U, they got it, especially with what they did against Ohio State. Like, I think that they can win it all. I mean, granted, Indiana was looking like a motherfucker. And we don't have Visky on here to basically talk about his tie, but nah, man. Indiana looks good, man. Indiana looks real damn good, but I'm gonna pick the U for this
one. Okay. Now, me. I'm on the opposite side of the bracket, a U in the other pick from Visky. I'm Indiana. Mm-hmm. Indiana's defense is crazy.
Crazy.
Defense can definitely win you a championship, and on top of winning you a championship, Indiana can put up some points. Because their defense is going to make sure that they're always in a position to put up points. I think Indiana is going to give it to Oregon. And then whichever one of y'all come out of the U or Ole Miss, somebody about to catch a couple corn cobs upside the head as they push through to the national championship, okay? That's all it is. That's all that's coming. I do know Visky picked Ole Miss because he said due to the fact of, you know, Lane Kiffin leaving them and they saying that it's a different – they're saying they have players who've been on record in interviews saying that it's a different locker room and they believe in us and it's a different thing since now. Look, I can't say if they're wrong or right.
Right.
Okay? Sometimes there is that – fresh boom of energy whenever a coach leaves or he decides to leave. So I'm not going to say that that's not possible. Okay. But I feel like that's that first round we got a bunch of energy because we're trying to prove him wrong type energy. And we're going to see if that carries over into the next round. That's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, it's. I can see it being more like the Will Smith, why don't they want me, Uncle Phil energy? Because Lane didn't have to leave. He didn't have to go to LSU. Granted, it's a better place. It's a better place. Granted, go Tigers overall. But I think Lane was better served going to Florida, personally. I think we were better served having an old boy that went to Florida be at LSU. But be that as it may. Lane going to LSU, I mean, it didn't have to happen. He didn't have to leave Ole Miss. He could have stayed there. He could have basically had this team that he got to the CFP or helped get to the CFP and stay with them and build in Oxford because he was already bringing cats out there or being able to get cats out there with his mercenary ass. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's going to be going to LSU, we'll see how this all turns out. I still think that, you know, if Michigan is wanting to move on from Underwood, LSU has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. But, yeah, man, like, I get it if they're saying that, but also it's like, I, yeah, man, it's a different attitude. Everything's different now. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
I no longer want you, Bryce Underwood. Ha. You abandoned me? You abandoned me?
Now, you saying love don't? For more money. I was about to say you saying love don't live here anymore.
Love don't live here no more. Love don't live here no more. You left us.
You've abandoned me.
And you left us and thought that you could come back.
Hey, I'll still blame Brian Kelly, but that bag is the reason. Yeah,
the bag was the reason. I give him. He left because of the bag, okay? But don't you turn around now because I got Lane Kiffin over here. And now all of a sudden, you want to wear purple and gold again. You want to be in Death Valley again.
You could have been a star, son. You could have been a star. But then again, we had Nussmeier there, too. This was before last year. Never mind. Never mind what I'm saying.
Yeah. It don't even matter now. You can go, get your ass on. Keep your ass over there now. Since you want to play like that, man.
I'll be cool if you came.
Yeah, look, if you're gonna sit on the bench, you gonna apologize for your misdoing, your transgressions,
for your bag getting
against the purple and gold. I just think he can just run around. Gotta talk right now. You gotta talk. Fix your mouth. Fix your mouth, and then you come in. God damn it, upsetting me like that. Now,
my blood pressure all up.
Hey, but yeah, my blood pressure go up. Now, as we move on, NCAA, you know, college basketball. Look, Rob, go ahead. give me your picks.
All right. For the men's side, I go H-Town, go Houston. I just go Houston. But for women, Hannah Hidalgo, go Notre Dame. Those are going to be my picks.
Okay. Even though I didn't make a women's pick, I kind of agree with Visky that UConn women may make a push. They, Gino may get another one, you know?
Yeah, with Fudd. I can't remember the other woman's name that's there, but yeah, it's like between her and Fudd, it's like supposed to be like.
Yeah, they're looking good. Not for my men's pick. I got Michigan Wolf. I think that they're about to show up. I think the Wolverines about to show out though. Wolverines about to show out and go ahead and get this. Visky with UConn for both. I don't see the UConn men maybe making it. They probably gonna be.
I want to say they're ranked right now.
Yeah, they are.
I'll look it up.
Let me see. I think. Oh, all right. There you go. It connected successfully. But with that being said, you got things like that I'm looking at like this. Michigan just has a team. Like Michigan, well, I'm not going to say just a team. Mm. Michigan has the team. In my eyes, to me, that's just my personal opinion. Some people say Iowa. Some people say UConn has a really good team in the men's. Look, it's all about whoever you leaning on at this point. That's how I'll say it. It's all about whoever you leaning on at this point. Now, after our college basketball predictions. Okay, so.
We golfing. Oh, no, Wimbledon.
No, we're going Wimbledon. We're going tennis. Rob, I see you got Ben Shelton, Coco Golf.
Afternoon, my octoroon.
Yeah. My boy says he's going with the octoroon. Okay. Coco Golf. I'll say this, and then I'll let you say this. I'll let you kind of take over. Coco Golf surprised me the other day after her win. She won 6-1, 6-1. She said, I feel like I could play even better. And I'll say this. Confidence and ability is a scary thing to fight against, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think at this point in her career, her ability is going way up there, and the confidence is right behind it. So, she probably will win Women's Wimbledon. Now, I got men's Carlos Alcaraz. I see
Alcaraz.
Alcaraz. I see. Yeah. Visky got Felix Auger.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, you went with Dr. Room, Ben Shelton. Ben Shelton might win too. Ben Shelton.
Yeah.
He's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I saw the Vizky put Felix Auger. So because I'm a Simpsons fan. It like basically it was the episode where Lisa had to order, she had a crush on a boy. She was spending her summer with her dad. And she was like, she's like, man, what's his name? Homer was like, what's the boy's name? He's like Ben Auger. And it was just like she had a really big crush on dude, and then she used his name to fake a shipment. I might not have been Ben. But yeah, like that's the only thing I thought about. Very important.
Yes. Now next one. Rob, explain to me this master pick of Scotty Scheffler. Tell me why. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm going the direction I went.
I believe in convicts. Okay. I believe in our justice system. I don't. Mm-hmm. But I believe that basically people can have the redemption arc. And I think that Scotty Scheffler, of course, he had got pinched last year. I think at Wimbledon. Or not Wimbledon. Why did I say Wimbledon? The Masters. And basically, he got locked up and they didn't let him out. And so basically, Akon from, I think, I can't remember. Yeah, from?
The Lou.
Thank you. Born in St. Louis. And so, yeah, like, I think that basically Scotty, he's going to win it all because I know so much about golf.
Okay. So I'm going to let you know why. McIlroy is yet to complete a Grand Slam. Okay. He's yet to complete a Grand Slam, and I think
I thought he did though.
Nah. I want to say he's short on the Grand Slam. And the Masters is the one he needs. I want to say the Masters is right the one he needs right now.
You sure?
I think so.
Hold on.
I want to say he's short a Masters. I want to say he's short a Masters.
He won the Masters.
He won, okay, but if I'm not mistaken, you have to win all four of them, right? Mm-hmm. This is the one year, okay, where if you look at the field, he can go to the Masters and win, and he can win the other two events also. Well,
are you saying that he hasn't done it like all together? Yeah. He didn't do the Tiger Slam.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't at all. He's been close.
I'm gonna say most. I think everybody hasn't done the Tiger Slam. You talking about win them all in the same year or in the same like it's consecutive?
Yeah. Well, that and the fact that he's looking for it. Because if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't. What year did he win his Masters?
Last year.
Okay. So look, that was last year he won his Masters. I want to say he's looking for the Grand Slam this year. Okay.
He's got it. That was the last one.
That was the last one he had. I thought he had missed one.
He won, because he won the U.S. Open in 2011. He won the PGA in 12 and 14. And he won the Open in 14.
That was the last master winner then. This year.
Yeah, there we go. He'll go back.
Because I thought he was missing one, though.
That was the last one. Look, everybody, edit. MIB, Men in Black, red light. Let's take it back to last year. We're saying this whole thing last year.
Yeah.
And basically go. That's what it is. Like you're absolutely right. Just a year later.
Yeah. Back to back master winner.
There we go.
Vizky picked Jonathan
Rahm. John Rahm.
Yeah, John Rahm. Yeah. I don't know. See, I'm figuring
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I have too, but I'm figuring the Masters is gonna come down to like a Sunday where it's gonna be like Scotty, Rory, and a couple other guys in there that are going to be pushing. And then, you always got that one guy who's like kind of like unnamed, or he's making his play and he gets a run and he's there on Sunday,
Mm-hmm.
He's somewhere in contention.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be John Rahm for Vizky, but somebody's always there that doesn't need to be there. Just doesn't need to be there. But, because Tiger isn't going to participate in anything this year.
That boy done.
Yeah.
That boy done.
He's not participating in anything. Now, NASCAR, We made you pick Bubba Wallace. Because that's how net. Yep. That and also this. Team 23 won their lawsuit this year, you know. Yep. They got NASCAR to comply.
Mm-hmm.
Something, because they won't tell us all of the details, Rob, something is going on with that. Okay? Michael Jordan is a winner on a lot of fronts, okay? Now, winning this court case so easy, I didn't think was going to be there, okay? Because in my head, I was like, Mike and him really going after NASCAR? Like, what do Mike know that I don't know? And he won.
Yeah. And from what it sounded like, it was one of those, yeah, you're right. Because I remember, I remember seeing, like, as this lawsuit was, like, starting to actually take shape. And it was like, I saw like a bunch of people like commenting, like, oh, wait, he's right. Like, you can't do that. It was one of those like, hey, MJ is right about this. Like, what are y'all doing?
Which then makes me beg to question him about this. How long y'all been letting this shit go on that has been wrong and other people have won and you've said nothing? How long do you let something fly? Did it just so happen to be the black guy with six rings and the $1 billion boats and the $1 billion industry had to come in and say, hey, this ain't right? And y'all are like, well, he is right.
Yeah, now you got him there, buddy.
Yeah, that's a wild one. Now, Vinsky has for NASCAR, Kyle Larson.
I know of him.
I do know of him, but I gotta pick Bubba. Something is saying Team 23 might pull this out.
It's the melanin in you talking.
I like that.
All right, so world champs. Mm-hmm. WWE. All right, so you were the only one that actually had champions. Correcting this, I got Braun Breaker and Gunther, depending on the brand, basically being world champs. I had Gunther last year along with KO, but KO broke his neck, which I mm-hmm. thought he would have been a champion, but broken neck is broken neck.
Yes, it is.
We'll see if he ever comes back. But now I got Braun Breaker and Gunther. I think that they're going to try to strap the rocket on Braun Breaker sooner or later within this year, It's a topic that we're gonna have to talk about in a little while. So put a pin in it in your mind.
Yes. But, I forgot we did put that. I won't say what I was gonna say.
And so, but I think that Braun Breaker is gonna be the guy. And Gunther, it's gotta go somewhere. Like everything that's basically happening with him, it's gotta go somewhere. Now on the other side, Bianca, because she's gonna come back sooner or later, and I think that she's gonna get a title sooner or later because that she deserves.
Okay.
But also, I got Rhea as a champ. This is the prediction, the same prediction I had last year, as Bianca and Rhea being champions. But Bianca got hurt. Rhea basically just kind of been like out, just been around. She's been doing things. She's been still in the spotlight. But you know, we're far and away from what she did with the mommy character with Judgment Day. Like she's been doing her own thing and trying to. Really, I think capitalize and get back up, but it sounds like she's starting to get back into the title picture. So those are my two champs. I see that you have Gunta and Jacob Fatu as your men's champs.
Okay.
Well,
so people, just listen. Walk with me for a second. Rob said something earlier that makes a lot of sense. Things have to go somewhere, okay? This bloodline thing. If somebody's going to take over, it's going to have to be either Jacob or Solo. Okay? I see it going Jacob as a champion, and I think that he's going to be a champion because at some point, they're going to want to push his name up, and him and somebody like Oba Femi is going to wind up clashing somewhere down the line. Okay?
That'd be... Oof.
I told you, WWE can hire me. Hire me. Hire me. I got this. Now, women, Bianca will go to Raw. Okay? And Jade Cargill will keep the SmackDown title. Okay? The reason I see Bianca going to Raw, and I'ma just throw this one out there, and I'm gonna ask your opinion.
Yeah.
Do you ever think Jade Cargill could make a run on Raw?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
It's not that I don't think that she can make a run on Raw. I think that right now you need to let her uplift SmackDown as much as possible, mm-hmm. and then give Raw Bianca for her to uplift. What has been our complaint about some of the women champions? Well, I ain't gonna say your complaint. I know Viscia talk about it a lot. They put the belt on certain people. For example, you had a foreigner, okay? Mm-hmm. Couldn't cross over with the Americans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've had...
You talk about EO, right?
Yeah, for EO. Yep, for EO. Then you've had people like Valkyrie, okay?
Yeah.
What was wrong with Valkyrie? What people said?
She has a language barrier. It's not as... It's, actually, EO's probably more fluent, but yeah.
Okay, so we all know that being able to communicate with the public is a major thing. Mm-hmm. But then we also know Rhea has had the belt. Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like the belts need a pseudo woman hard ass in a way. And then you need the more friendly, upbeat, stylish type chick. And Bianca took who is now Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks' place is that with more ability. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because think about it. She can do everything Sasha could do, but she's a bigger woman and, to me, more charismatic.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
She's way more charismatic. We just need Jay to figure finishing it out. Like, figuring it
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
We need her to finish, like, just... Look, if they gave us time with a person like her, we could figure it out. Because I believe you have to book her as a heel champion. That's yeah. my thing. Because if you look at her physique, what makes you think she can't slap all these women in the
Dominating.
Exactly.
Dominating. That's what I said. Like, her ceiling is Brock Lesnar. Like, I've been saying, like, her ceiling is, like, dominant. Kick at, like, not early Brock Lesnar. I mean, like, right now Brock yeah. Lesnar. That is her ceiling.
This is her. WWE, if you don't want to write it, call me. I'll let you, like I said.
Me
and Rob will come in and do a one-time job, but we won't. 2% of all revenue.
Okay? At least.
2% of all revenue. This is going to fund our lifestyle. I got you. I'm going to point you in the right direction. I got you. Just believe in us, okay?
Believe
in us. Now, I see Viscia went theory.
That nigga gonna have to explain his fucking self. Cause I'm looking at this nigga's choices. And I'm like, when he gets from assignment, he gonna have to explain his fucking self. I don't know if it's gonna be, well, I ain't gonna be here next week, but the week after or whatever, that nigga gonna have to explain his fucking self. Cause you could go ahead and say what he said. If you talk to him about it, I don't know if you talked to him about
talk to him about this.
Because this nigga got a theory, and I don't know. I can't fucking abide by that shit. Oh, hell no. No. That nigga should. I'm gonna cut a Austin Theory promo. All right, look. Okay. The thing with Austin Theory,
mm-hmm.
who Viscia says could be what he predicts to be the world champion at the end of the year alongside the OTC,
mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns. This nigga theory is one snap away from pink slip.
One.
He is not it. And look, I told my homies this. I've talked about this. The last time I went to WrestleMania, which was when I went with Vizky to WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Yes.
The first time I saw Austin Theory was at an indie show that had Joaquin Wilde, had Keith Lee, it had Darby Allin, it had Matt Riddle, Zack Sabre Jr., all these names. Gunther, Fat Gunther, like Big Gunther, like basically Luther Vandross, like Big Gunther was there. I didn't even know who he was. But I remember him slapping the fuck out of this Japanese dude's chest. Be that as it may, first time I saw Austin Theory, I was like, that's a WWE guy. My homie that was next to me, same thing. He's like, that's a WWE dude. He's going to get his chance sooner or later. And then like a couple years later, he gets called up to NXT and then basically, boom, everything kind of goes. But I saw, you could see like, all right, yeah, no, this is a WWE guy in making. This is a WWE guy. With talent, what, like, this is a future WWE guy. He has not been a WWE superstar. He has not. He has the look, but he has not had the feel. He has not had the development. He has not had anything. And I think that the problem with him is that he needs, and it seems like what we're going to talk about a little bit later too, he has a lot of people in his corner that mm-hmm. saw what I saw and saw that this guy is a star. He, like John Cena kind of intimated, has not flipped that switch for whatever reason. Maybe he's in his own head. Maybe it's something else. But he has not flipped that switch. And so that nigga Vizky is on one. I want to know what he's on.
Yeah, because I don't see Roman Reigns either. I don't.
I could see Roman, but not. It's highly unlikely.
Yeah,
I could give him Roman.
I could see what you mean. I could see it, but I don't think it's like. And then he chose Raquel and Bianca. Okay, we all kind of got Bianca, but Raquel. You think Raquel?
So I was talking to one of my other wrestling homies. Like he wants to see Raquel be a world champion. Like right now too. And I think it's because a lot of us see Raquel as that Diesel type of enforcer and think like, okay, Diesel held the championship. Why can't Raquel? Like, I think Raquel's never going to have to be a world champion. And I don't think that's a knock against Raquel. I think that she is good. I don't think she's great. And that's just me. And it's not a knock against. I don't mean to knock her. I don't mean. I think she is a good wrestler. I think she's good talent. I think she's been great within Judgment Day. I just don't see her as somebody that I would put above Io. I don't see her as a person I put above Bianca, Rhea, Jade, Liv. You name it, Stephanie, Julia. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that I would put over her, but she might get a world title shot sooner or later. But I wouldn't put the title on personally.
Okay. I could agree with a shot, but I don't think no.
Yeah.
No. I don't see it happening. Nah. So then we move on to AEW. I see you got Jon Moxley, Willow Nightingale.
Love Willow. Love Willow.
All right. Yeah. All right. You think Moxley's gonna be that? He's gonna pop back up?
Why the hell not? Honestly, I looked at the roster. I was like, yo, he's the first one that came up. Okay, cool. And because the thing is, like, I don't watch AEW like that. I think I think who I picked last year was Swerve. No, I picked MJF. I think MJF is the world champion, and I got that in at the buzzer. But like, I think that Tony Khan has an infinity to basically name Jon Moxley as a world champion just because why the fuck not? And I think that's his call. And I don't think he's better. Now who you name? A lot of people are into him. I'm just not. But you go ahead.
So I'm gonna explain why. Hangman is making a comeback. I think that he's gonna be right there. And then Athena was a damn. What was her stupid name?
In WWE.
Yes.
Ember Moon.
There we go. Ember Moon. I don't know why I wanted to call it Ember something else, probably because of the Danny Phantom shit. But I don't think she was ever used right in WWE. I just don't.
Once she got to the main roster, I would agree.
Yeah.
I think there was more potential in her in the main roster. But I think she got injured a bunch.
But I feel like whenever people become uninjured at some point, you kind of got to give them a shot to see where they're at.
It's like the only person I think that really has gotten that is like Seth. Seth, they keep going to the well on him. But like everybody else, it feels like a Dolph Ziggler, I'm trying to think who else. Jack Swagger. Like once you get hurt, Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Once you get hurt, it's like, oh, never mind.
It's an interesting take I have on Seth Rollins. I feel like Seth Rollins is the fallback like Bret Hart was.
I thought you were gonna go there.
Nah. But I feel like he's just a fallback guy. He's like Bret was. Okay, you're very consistent and you wrestle good and do everything. you cut good promos. Okay. We in a pinch. Put it on you.
When in doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Bret Hart, and I think that's why Seth Rollins always have a spot.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
They do the same thing. I know he may either consider himself greater than Bret Hart, or maybe he might think Bret Hart is higher than him. But they get used for the same purpose. They're literally the same person, just different time frames. Do I think that they probably deserved a little more? Yeah. But do I think WWE is gonna do that? Hell no. Because WWE needs a fallback. And they're the perfect fallback.
Safe button like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Even though he keep getting hurt.
Yeah, but think about it. Diesel, Shawn Michaels, Psycho Sid, all fell back to Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. Same shit with Seth Rollins. Hey, we about to lose him. Give him Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
It works. So I think that's why it is what it is with him. Vinsky had chose MJF and Mercedes Moné. I could see MJF maybe keeping the title, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Mercedes Moné, I think they'll probably, I could see them pulling the switch and basically being like, all right, we've been saying that we weren't going to do it what everybody else thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's just do the thing.
We're going to do the thing that we told you guys that we weren't going to do. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, they did the thing. You know? Yeah. It's one of those things. Do I agree with it? Maybe not, but you know.
Yeah, so we got the UFL. Of course, I'm going with my beloved Battlehawks because what? Call is fucking law.
Yep.
You know? And so, you know, now they got Ricky Pro. Granted, I hate to see Anthony Beck go to Orlando, which – I didn't realize they could just do. They just basically put him on Orlando. The league basically said that you will now coach Orlando. Not he got hired. Not he got fired by the Battlehawks. The league said, no, you're coaching the Battlehawks. You're not going to coach Orlando. It was the weirdest fucking thing. But Ricky Pro is now going to be former Ram legend. But former Ram, Ram legend. Let's go there. But Ricky Pro is going to be the actual new head coach of the Battle Hawks. So we're going to see how everything turns out. His son was playing for them for a little minute, but that's all I really remember. I'm going Battle Hawks.
I pick Houston because Houston is a 500 team. I think since the merger and everything, Houston might make a come up. And I know Vinsky said he was picking the Brahmas because, you know, that was San Antonio team. He was going to root for them.
Fair enough.
How they do. Now, we still got a couple topics we want to cover with you guys.
Speaking of the UFL.
Yeah, speaking of the UFL, Phillip Rivers starting should signal the need for an actual NFL minor league. Rob, do you really think that could actually work out?
It's like I wanted to. And the reason why is because when I saw that, you know, Riley Leonard kind of got passed over, even though I think he was, from what I heard, he was hurt. When they called Phillip Rivers and Anthony Richardson was also hurt. Mm-hmm. It was like, I thought about the fact that it probably should be a minor league for players that basically can get some level of development. So by the time they get to the NFL, they you know, or by the time they're getting their name called, their number called, they're basically named, they could basically come in and be like, okay, we're not projects. Because it seems like with a lot of these offensive coaches, they're taking in these guys to be more projects and not really have them play. Excuse me. Not really have them play so they can learn the system, whatever, but not really get much touch time with a first team offense and everything like that. I think it would be cool if basically they could just go somewhere similar like to baseball and go somewhere where they're getting a lot of touch time, they're getting a lot of play, and then once they get their name called, they come up, and then basically, boom, you got a ready-made starter. Basically, they could go in and fill in for your injured starting quarterback or whoever for that matter. But I think of it just like there is no development system for these quarterbacks, you know, outside of them just sitting back and then just waiting for their number to be called. Like they're just kind of stagnating, you know, or just going through practice really with the second team and stuff like that, but not really getting any like game action, like similar to what you would have in like a baseball or even a basketball. Like getting actual game scenarios. And granted, I know it's hard because football is a paying sport. So basically having a minor league that's concurrent with the NFL season is almost impossible because it's like you got to line up schedules. You got to line up a lot of things for that person to then play a game or be ready to play a game for another team. But I would like say if the UFL, because they basically are the de facto minor league outside of college football, really. They're the de facto minor league for the NFL. I would like to see them more integrated, or like say Riley Leonard, for example. He can go down and play for the San Antonio Brahmas and basically get more touch time versus just playing practice squad or you know, with the second and third team. Like actual get into game scenarios, even though he's played played football all his life, actually get more game professional scenarios and everything like that. So that when he gets back to that team, boom, he just keep on playing. So that was just a thought. It was, you know, I don't know how many legs it's gonna have, because it's like I don't think the NFL wants to expend any more money that they already do, and so they're not gonna want to fund a minor league. And I think that the kind of give and take, what you could probably have similar to baseball, is that you can have these franchisees, or you have these leagues like a UFL basically saying, okay, well, we'll take in some of you guys that get drafted, or we'll bring in like some of these people that are names that are then going to go to the NFL once the NFL starts. Okay. And so, because it's so much of a gap between NFL season, like ending to when it begins, like what, 8 months?
Yeah.
Essentially. So like you can basically have these guys kind of play and then refresh a little bit before training camp and then basically go into training camp, or just have them not go through training camp, go straight to maybe the preseason or go straight to regular season, because they've already gotten their kind of more calcification in, you know, and everything like that. So, or callousing, that's what I mean, not calcification, but callousing, you know, and taking hits and everything like that. So, but that was, it was just a thought. Like they, I think they need something where these guys are more developed versus just like having them go.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I could see what you mean with that one, because they need it, because guys do need to like work up and be ready. I think a perfect example, like you just said, they could easily like have something for these guys to be like, all right, they're working 24/7 towards this. This is your goal, you know. This is the goal. This is what we're going to get. This is who we're going to be. It maybe could work. It's just the gap. It's just the gap. The seasons would have to move around. The seasons would definitely have to move around to make something like that happen. It would have to be another level of, hey, we're going to move this here and this here, and we're gonna make this happen. And could it happen? Possibly. You never know. Possibly could happen. But or am I sure it's gonna happen? I don't know, because the NFL is already a weird place at times.
So weird.
It's already a weird place, and I'm like, could they do that?
Yeah, it like I said, and it's more of a theory, and I think it's gonna be more. I don't think it's gonna be able to work. to be completely honest. But it's like it's something I would like to see. Just so I'm saying, like, these guys could be more developed. But yeah, I don't see it actually happening or coming to fruition.
No. We must talk about this, and I'm glad that we get to talk about this right now. Okay. People, we're going to go back to WWE here for a second. And right. I have to say this, okay? All of you who are a fan of The Vision, Rob said The Vision is WWE's version of the Titanic. Okay. Something built to be big and glorious, but it's on its way to disaster. Now, look. I have to agree with my Vermigo, okay? I think the vision is blurry. I think the pilot got bad sight, okay? The captain does not know what he wants to do. The captain is out just sailing everywhere. He's flying the 747. He's doing all kind of stuff. He's on a boat. He's on a plane. He's hollering about, I'm here, I'm there. This took a turn. Now, in my opinion, I don't know if you agree with me, Rob. I didn't feel like Logan Paul needed to be there. Okay. I had a vision that you would bring in a female. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about it.
Yep. And the female was Jade Cargill. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bring her in.
Which would have been a great one.
I told y'all. I'm correct all the time.
Oh, we got a soundboard.
Yes. Yes, we do. You should let me write this because she could have been their version of China for that group.
Yeah.
Because Seth Rollins departed you. Okay? Mm-hmm. But I think you should have kept him too. This could have been massively great. Massively great.
Think about Braun and Jade. Think about the fact that they kind of came in at a similar time to, like, the main roster. Like, they could have basically, it could have been a very much intense bunch, but, like, she likes to dress with the leather jackets and everything like that. It would have been a perfect fit. And imagine, here's where I think it would have not worked out. I think Paul Heyman, you know what, and this might be, this clip might go somewhere, but it's like it might be that Paul Heyman don't know how to deal with black women.
I don't know, but this, he need to learn.
That would be the only thing I could reason why I could say like Jay wouldn't have basically been able to join the group because that man wouldn't know how to deal and be around a black woman.
Listen to what I thought. You have her. You have her come out there and do China type shit. Because you know what we're missing in wrestling that time? We miss the dirty, the little extra gritty shit. You know, we missing that. We missing the people going out there tripping a ref, grabbing somebody, holding them, helping them hold them down, clotheslining somebody while they outside. We don't get any of that no more. Y'all want to be World Wrestling Entertainment, and we ain't doing none of the entertainment stuff no more. none of it. She could have imagined, okay, picture this.
Go ahead.
Breaker and Reed are wrestling right now, okay? They're out there tagging, right? They could be tagging anybody. She comes out there with them. She escorts them now. You know, she's like their pseudo valet. Somebody drops on the outside. She, boom, punt kicks them in a way, you know, to the face, roll them back in the ring. Let's say somebody is messing with Bron Breakker, and he lures him in over there, and she jumps out. Ah! Clothesline. We can have those type of things. We don't have that anymore in wrestling, and I watch it sometimes, and I'm like, we're missing this. We're missing the old. And I know some people say, y'all love living yesteryear, because yesteryear had all the fine details right. They knew what to do. The wrestling got better, but y'all lost all of the details. The athletes got better, and they forgot how to talk.
There were some recipes that got lost in the process.
Yes. This group was headed in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it's somebody in creative, if it was Triple H's call, somewhere along the line, we lost this. I don't know. Rob, what do you think went wrong with this?
Like as far as the process?
How did we go from being going in the right direction of a powerhouse faction to where we are now?
To be honest, I think that they just kind of they lost the plot. I think that part of it was it seemed like Seth's injury basically played a part in it, because I think that the trajectory was supposed to be Seth, you know, I mean, which I guess it did go there eventually, but like Seth gets to this place, Braun overtakes him and then basically runs it from there. But like the thing is, like, I guess it happened earlier, too early in the process for Braun to be the guy, even though it seems for all intents and purposes, he's supposed to be the guy. Like he's supposed to be that dude out of that group, even though Logan Paul is eventually going to be the guy out of that group, but he ain't really there yet, you know? And so like I think they basically, they lost their way. They said, all right, we're just going to throw some shit around. Like adding Austin Theory was, hey, okay, this is this guy's last chance, but it wasn't a good place to make it this guy's last chance. I understand maybe they were like, all right, we'll call it the A-Town Stomp because it's reminiscent of the Curb Stomp, and you know, A-Town Stomp it's already a known thing, and maybe that's what it is. But it was just like, all right, here's your last chance. This is your last chance for you to basically stay within this company, because if you ain't doing this, say hi to TNA, buddy. Like, I think that's the next. I think by the, and we'll have it on wax. So this is here by June of this year, or no, I would say by August 1st of this year, Austin Theory is gonna be in TNA. I think that this is it. If this man don't basically make a fucking move and basically get over this next hump and actually get some kind of feeling with the crowd, this man is going to be on TNA. Because I don't see where else he can be. I think this is it for him. And I think that they wanted to basically say, okay, we're going to put you with Paul. It's kind of similar to what happened with like Cesaro. It's like, we'll put you with Paul. Paul knows what to do. He'll help you. He'll know what this is, a match made in heaven. And it just won't. I think that's the thing with this Vision. It's like, I'm a wrap up.
You're good.
But the thing about it is, it's like this on paper, these are four great talents. Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, Logan Paul, and Austin Theory. Even though I I'm clowning him, like what he is, like on the mic, these are four great talents. It's just that there is no, honestly, pun intended, vision as far as where they're actually supposed to go with this thing. Because what is the trajectory? Is it going to be Logan Paul basically doing something? Like, where is the end game? What is the end game, Spence? Like, where does this go? And I don't think that there is any place for this to go outside of just, and then just cut our losses.
Let me tell you something. This is a perfect example of we're doing the same thing. We've done the same thing across three factions. We built them up. They've had a leader. Somebody's leaving. We just saw this with the Bloodline, Rob. We legit, if you think about it, we just saw this with the Bloodline, though. We just saw them try to have a faction overthrow. We just saw Judgment Day with a faction overthrow. And now you're giving me another faction overthrow with this group. This was supposed to be your group that you kept together. You keep breaking up groups. And it's somebody else's fault. Like,
Walkie-talkie.
Oh. Why do we keep breaking up these groups? And then we break them up the same way. We keep breaking them up the same way, and there's no reason for this. Why isn't this the DX right now?
Well, because, well, for one, these motherfuckers don't have it. Like, Bron has it. I would say, for me, Bron has it. Logan Paul has a level of it. I think he has it. Bronson Reed don't have it. Austin Theory don't have it. The thing with Triple H and it, Triple H got it. Shawn Michaels had it. China had it. But these guys don't have it. And I think that when it comes to like tag teams all together, the only tag teams that WWE seemingly aren't going to completely break up are the New Day and the Usos. And that's because they've, and seems at this point, seem maybe the Street Profits. They are basically like kind of more landmarked, grandfathered in to basically just be there for the time being. But everybody else is fair game to like explode. And I think that this team, I don't think this team was ever really, I get what you're saying. Like this team was built to like for the long haul. This team was built to basically be temporary. This team was basically supposed to be, I think this team was basically a vehicle for Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman to eventually have their dominance over all of this. It just hasn't followed through with the trajectory it is, I think partially because of Seth's injury.
Why can't we teach Bronson Reed to be our Billy Gunn and be an ass but, man?
Okay. But the Billy Gunn ain't really had it. He just had a thing.
Yeah, like he, that's like, all I but, need him to have, Rob.
But
that's
they, all they,
I need him to have. But,
because the problem is that they're talking about his big Bronson Reed, but he's like 5'10". Like they want him. It's the same thing that happened with Apollo Crews, is that they want you to be this, but you ain't that much of that. Like you want, they want him to be a Braun Strowman, but he's as big as, I don't know. He's smaller than Stone Cold, technically. Like he is.
We can try to find him something, Rob, because
yeah.
He can wrestle, but we have to put him in this group and find whatever it is. See, to me, like I said, Billy Gunn wasn't the dude. He was, I'm an ass man. Yeah, you know. We had these guys that sat up here and they were in groups and they were relevant and we knew who they was. He could have been one of those dudes. But you keep taking from the group. And you bring him up the same way.
But the problem is that you got to think about it. When he was with the New Age Outlaws, he started out, you know, as B.A. Billy Gunn, but he had the Road Dogg to kind of like usher him in into everything. He could still work and do everything like that. Granted, he did well with Billy and Chuck as well, but that was really more for a gimmick unto itself. But the thing about it is I think when it comes to Bronson Reed, he's done good with the Tribal Thief. That was dope. That was dope as hell. And he's had like these kaiju battles where, you know, everything looks, seemed great, you know, and all that. It's just that you got to get on the mic and you got to basically speak for yourself. And I don't think he's got it like that. And I think that it really ain't that many motherfuckers that got it like that, especially in WWE. It really everywhere, I would say. Like it's like maybe a couple handfuls of motherfuckers in each place that basically, if that, that basically have it and they can basically carry it over as far as being something like that. Like it, and I can't fault him necessarily, but I could also just say it for what it is. I would like him to have more of it because I think there's more potential there than I think with Austin Theory, but it's still to the fact of matter of, it's not enough to where I can basically be like, I want to watch you all the time because you bring me into this. You're not, you're like, if he's being matched up with, say, Jacob Fatu, a Braun Strowman, a Big, then yeah, I want to see that because he's done great things with Bigs in ring. But the problem is you also got to get on the mic. And I think that when it comes to him, it can't really work out like that. Because even with, like, DX, for example, X-Pac ain't really have, like, this magnanimous attitude or whatever. But he was at least tied with Road Dogg.
Yeah.
And he had Triple H, who wasn't really that great on the mic he was all right on the mic within DX. But it was just, like, he wasn't, like, great. I don't think he got great until he became the game. And that, and really, it was down the line. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's partially where you plan it, but it's also there's like when it comes to gripping the crowd and getting that kind of like chemistry with the crowd, it's like everybody ain't gonna have it.
I just think you could be done better. Like that group is off track. Like I said, Division is blurry. Look, Division need to go over to the America's Best right now. Okay, that's where they need to go. Division need to go to America's Best so they can get an eye checkup. Okay?
Honestly, dog, I think it's and I know we spent a lot of time on it, but I think the problem is that they tried to put too many good flavors in at one time, and it all just can't land. I think they tried. They saw, hey, we got this seasoning, we got that season, we got this season, we got that season. Let's all just roll it together, and we're gonna make a blend. And that blend was bland. And it's so and sometimes it's just like that. Sometimes it's gonna basically you're gonna mix a lot of shit together. Think it's gonna be good, and that's why I said the Titanic. Titanic was basically something that was like, this is the glorious thing that's gonna travel the seven seas and all this kind of bullshit. But it had flaws. It had inherent flaws that then basically led to a lot of technological advances for oceanic travel. Now I don't know if the Vision is gonna basically be the next thing that's going to lead to better things for everybody else, but I think that it's still to where. This is a great thing that I think a lot of people brought together. It just has flaws. And I think that it's just, we don't see those flaws because we see like, okay, we got this talent, we got that talent. Yeah, this should work. And you got Paul Heyman, who's a great steerer of the ship.
Yes.
But it's the thing of sometimes you just put too much good shit together and it cancels everything out. And the product of that is, I don't know. Because, I mean, we're going to see if Braun actually basically beat CM Punk for the world title in a few days. So,
which he should.
Or actually tomorrow. Shit, that's tomorrow.
Which he should. He should.
Yeah.
He should. He should beat him. CM Punk, you know.
Because that motherfucker. All right, WWE. I get what you're going, but go away from it.
Oh, yeah. You make that U-turn right now. And yeah. That next exit, you get down and turn this thing around, okay? We're not going there. Like, we're not going there. Look,
that man done.
He been done. Whenever he went and got whipped in UFC, said it then. Look, I said reality set in.
Man.
I said, you should have never left wrestling. Them years that you had left taken right there. Few defeats. Yeah. That took that off an octagon, baby. Just whoosh, 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 whoosh. Get that out of here. Them years you had left gone to the octagon. Took them. You ain't got nothing left. Everything that you're running on is fumes right now. It's fumes. Let it go. Let it go. I know you the man. And if you ain't made the bag on this second WWE run, I don't know what to tell you. Because I know WWE gave you some money. Because I know you went in there and demanded some money. I don't know if I'll ever go back to WWE. Went back to WWE. WWE said, how big of a check do I need to write? And that's all that mattered. And you said, this amount. And they said, got it. Tell you. They ain't fight with you. But, you know. Maybe we look at things wrong, but I don't think we do. Especially not concerning him or the Vision. Like I said, America's Best. Hey, you can go to Sam's and get an eye appointment, bro. You get them glasses checked out for over there. You can get this vision corrected. A little LASIK.
Right.
You know, like they say, you got a little lazy eye, look like home. You might need to smoke something. You might need to get right.
Right.
Might need to get right. But with that being said, Rob, I'm pretty sure we covered everything today on our topic list.
But one thing.
Oh yes, we are missing one.
Never mind. And look, I want everybody to hold hands. Like grab your neighbor. Fuck WWE on Peacock. Rest in piss WWE on Peacock. You are gone. You are out of our minds, you are out of our bodies, you are out of our souls. That place sucked when it comes to WWE Network. And I understand, hey, they pay you $1 billion for your shit, make sure you got exact change. I got you. But here's the thing. That place never tried to conform to what WWE needed. Like, it never was a good transition from the network to there. It was a long time before all the, like, files and everything, like, really got uploaded into there. And now there's more shit. Like, it was it, you know, they lost the PLEs and everything like that. And everything basically is gone. But Peacock, their place is gone. Their place is dust. I don't know if you cancel your subscription, whoever's out there. Look, do your thing, because there is no more remnants of WWE Network. YouTube has WWE shit. Netflix has WWE shit. And ESPN has the events. So rest in piss, WWE on Peacock. Just had to make sure I say that.
Just to let y'all know, from us to you, from the depths, mm-hmm. Nobody want to navigate Peacock no more.
That place stunk watching shit on there. I hated watching shit on there. It was annoying consistently. But yep, rest in hell, Peacock.
Don't worry. You're going to a worse place.
Nah, YouTube's gonna be better. I think YouTube's gonna be better.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah, YouTube's gonna be better. But I mean,
Peacock. Oh, you're talking about Peacock. Yeah.
To a worse place, you know, they went to a place where I'm just like, yeah, y'all needed to go there because nobody wanted this. Yeah. Nobody wanted this. Matter of fact, let me see something.
Damn, aptly put. See, this soundboard shit gonna work out, my nigga.
Made sure that y'all went there. Just get y'all out of there. No. Nobody wants to deal with y'all no more. Now we can end the show properly. Rob, well, first I'm gonna let everybody know. Hey, you can always catch us here live on YouTube. We have the other page with all our clips, the other Bromigos podcast page. This is where we come to you guys live. We have TikTok. We are on YouTube Shorts. We're everywhere. We're even up in the air. If you look up, you might see us up there. You might see us fly by. You might see us fly by. You never know. We're everywhere where podcasts are. You know, you always remember, you got to get your podcast in. We're there, too. We're there. Just search for us. Bromigos Podcast. And like I said, you never, ever, ever forget. You know, you always got to like, subscribe, tell your people about us. Remember that we're there. Look. Remember, you gotta click. Look, see if you hit that little button, that little bell. Hit that one right there, and it'll let you know on both of the channels, the Bromigos live page and the Bromigos podcast page. It'll let you know that we're there. We're upload. We got clips, breakdowns, everything. We got segment of it for y'all to look at. We're everywhere. Now, Rob, is there anything that you got to say before we get up out of here?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. You know, like you said, look, Pandora, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, your mama's crib,
yep.
your pops that you don't know, his spot. Yep. Every place that you can basically look from Migos is right there.
Look,
if they ain't there, they gonna be there. Yep. But like you said, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Facebook, Threads. We are everywhere. You search Bromigos in the world, Bromigos podcast in the world. Somebody's going to be like, hey, yeah. Turn right over there. Take a left, take a right, hit subscribe. That's what they're going to tell you. That's what you need to do. Make sure you do that. Hit us up. Kids through college need that. Do it now. Tell your peoples to do it now. Okay. That needs to happen.
Got content so good, your dad might even come back from the store with that gallon of milk that he promised.
We here trying to keep families together.
Keeping families
together. Help us do that by subscribing and like and sharing and commenting and liking again. And then, like, even disliking. We've had a lot of people that apparently dislike us. Apparently we were incels. Yeah. Like, so even if you dislike us, tell us how much, you know what? We gonna open the floor. Tell us how much you don't like us. Absolutely bullshit us. I don't care. Just tell your friends, hey, here's who I don't like. Matter of fact, spread hate. This is 2026. Spread some goddamn Bramigos hate. All right. Do that right now. Don't walk. Run to spread some Bramigos hate.
I'm trying to get
I'll need you to do it.
As many haters subscribed as possible, baby. That's what
hate me now. Cause I won't stop now.
Yep.
Cause I can't stop now. Hate Bramigos now.
There you go. There you go.